This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob.
And we welcome you into Talking.Golf, Rob Hernandez, along with Gary D'Amato, as we look ahead to a lot of things this week. Chicago Golf Show. Coming home, Gary. I'm coming home.
Yeah, how about that, Rob?
But before we do that, we got to look back on a busy weekend in the world of golf, namely the World Golf Championships Mexico Championship. And we start first with a bit of a local angle. There just aren't a lot of guys playing on the PGA Tour from Wisconsin at a high level to be in these WGC events. But we had a caddy in the tournament, and he got a lot of airtime over the weekend. Alex Gaugard out of Lake Geneva on the bag for his former Minnesota Gopher teammate Eric Van Rooyen. He's a South African who played 4 years up at for the Gophers, and they were in the hunt the entire weekend. It was fun. I got to talk to Alex Saturday morning, and then again last night after the tournament was done, and he was excited. You could tell that Eric Van Rooyen was excited, and I think we might have another budding superstar in our hands, Gary. Eric Van Rooyen looked really impressive over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a really cool story, Rob, and by virtue of moving into the top 50 in the official world golf ranking, he's qualified for the Masters, correct? So Alex will be at the Masters?
He will be at the Masters. You will see him down there. Because he wasn't in the top 50, apparently he had gotten one of the qualifying criteria was top 50 for 2019. And apparently at the end of the calendar year, Eric Van Rooyen had been in the top 50, fell back to 52 going into this week. But needed to get back in the top 50 to get in the Players' Championship. He's going to play this week in the Honda Classic on a sponsor's exemption. All of this, of course, Gary, is to try to gain enough FedEx Cup points to equal the total of the 150th place person on the PGA Tour from a year ago. I can't remember who that was, but it was 288 points. Eric Van Rooyen got 188 over the weekend for his finish in a WGC event, tied for third. And if he had finished solo second or better, he would have had enough points to earn special temporary membership on the PGA Tour. And then you're entitled to unlimited exemptions, and you get into tournaments where, you fall in line on the criteria. And ultimately, that's where everybody wants to play. So Eric Van Rooyen, between this week at Honda and then coming up at the Players' Championship, and if not there, presumably the Masters or the PGA Championship. He's in there based on his top 15 finish from a year ago. He should have enough opportunities to get that special temporary membership over the next couple months. But, it's the game within the game, Gary, on the PGA Tour.
Now, those guys, Alex, they were teammates at University of Minnesota, correct?
That is correct, yep. And
How did that relationships player caddy relationship start? Do you know?
It just started out of the blue last year at this at the Mexico event, and I'm not sure if Eric Van Rooyen. I'm sure that was about the first one of the first WGC events that Eric qualified for, and being over and on this side of the pond, as it were, he's been playing a lot. I think he played on the Sunshine Tour. Actually, both of them played on the Sunshine Tour coming out of college, which is kind of where they got to know each other even better and probably hung out a lot on that minor league tour over there. But when Eric started playing the European Tour, tasted some success, got a win last year, and got enough points to get into this kind of event, then he picked up Alex to be the caddy, and he's been the caddy ever since.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going down to the Masters again this year, Rob, and looking forward to connecting with those guys and hearing their story. It sounds pretty cool. And of course, you've written about them before, but it'll be fun to see him in Augusta.
Well, I think that's the big key too, Gary, is the fact that just like this last weekend, where they had an opportunity to do something they hadn't done before, playing in a WGC. They were in it last year, but in contention through the weekend. I mean, think about this. They had to go up against paired with it was Bryson DeChambeau and Patrick Reed on Saturday, and then Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed on Sunday.
Yeah,
that's not easy, is it?
No, that's not easy. A couple of the best players in the world, and in fact, when we talked about the Ryder Cup points, they both made moves in the Ryder Cup points list, and So yeah, it's that can't be easy to play with guys like that. But great learning experience, and Van Rooyen acquitted himself really well. Finished third, right?
Finished tied for third with John Rahm. And, you know, he was, in fact, he was tied for the lead with three other guys after nine holes, double bogey 10, birdied 11, bogey 12, and just couldn't get enough birdies down the stretch to catch Patrick Reed, who really, as we segue into our the Ryder Cup report. how'd you like that, huh? Sound effect.
That sounded official.
But, it really did. You mentioned, Gary, Patrick Reed made a colossal jump from 12 to 3 in the Ryder Cup point standings, right behind Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. We had the debate about whether Patrick Reed, if you were Steve Stricker, you'd put him on the team. I was kind of waffling a couple weeks ago after seeing Patrick Reed the last couple of weeks, especially this week, and especially after the beating he took early in the week. I listened to the one podcast with Peter Costas last week.
Yeah.
Gary, I don't know if you saw that or heard it, but Peter Costas kind of piled on Patrick Reed, saying that there were a couple times where he, you know, that incidents that hadn't been reported, where he saw Patrick Reed maybe take liberties with lies and bad positions, and just in preparation for shots would somehow, you know, wind up with a better lie than it was when Peter would walk by the ball at the, you know, the initial observation of it when he was working for CBS. The guy is the guy that people, you know, are just starting to love to hate, isn't he?
He is. And I'll say this about Patrick Reed. You know, it can't be easy to go out on a golf course and hear hecklers and hear people and have players looking sideways at you and know that you're being questioned with everything you do. I'm not defending him. I'm not saying anything he did was right or whether or not he cheated. I'll put all that aside. I'm just saying, in one respect, you have to give him kudos for being mentally tough to be able to win golf tournaments and play as well as he's playing with all that heaped on his shoulders. I mean, I think it's actually amazing. I mean, you talk about Tiger Woods being sidetracked by problems, you know, and having to deal with a lot of stuff back, you know, a couple of years ago. Well, Reed's got, you know, kind of the same thing, a similar thing anyway, and I think it's amazing the way he's able to win a golf tournament with all that coming at him. I do.
Well, and I think you wrote the story after he won the Masters in 18.
Yeah.
The guy's basically estranged from his family, and yet everyone wants, you know, that relationship to be patched up. It probably never will be. And part of that is because Patrick Reed is who Patrick Reed is, and the history, and really it's probably no business of ours whether he ever talks to his family again. It's kind of like Aaron Rodgers and his deal with his family. If it is in that situation, and a lot had to happen to get it to that point, and the fact that, you know, a guy like Patrick Reed's able to perform, you know, with all of that baggage, you know, up to that point, I think speaks volume for his mental capacity.
Yeah, I mean, he's just extremely, extremely mentally tough. And no matter how you feel about him, you've got to give him that. He's a tough guy out there on the golf course. He's tough to deal with. He's very focused. He doesn't let, obviously doesn't any, all the stuff that, it's got to bother him to some degree, you know, all the stuff he's hearing and putting up with and the questions he's getting and the heckling. I mean, you wouldn't be human if it wouldn't bother you, but he's able to compartmentalize,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's like worse than Xander Schauffele.
But, well, I've got another question for you. Did you listen, there was something on Twitter last night that, it must have been a Sky Sports interviewer asked him probably about the whole allegations from earlier in the week. And he just kind of the part on Twitter that I saw was Reed shaking his head at the guy as they walked away. So you're right. I mean, that stuff is just going to shadow him everywhere he goes. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like when he gets to Augusta.
I mean, it's just not going to go away. And, you know, he has encouraged some of it by not maybe taking what we would say would be a better approach to this, taking the high road and, you know, doing the mea culpa thing and apologizing. I mean, he's pretty defensive about it all, and I think that just invites more criticism. But like him or not, he just won a tournament and beat a great field, and it's pretty tough mentally. You got to give him that.
All right, so this brings us to our Whistling Straits dream team, Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau. Now, Bryson DeChambeau, despite finishing second at the Mexico Championship, he's only bumped up from 27 to 13. So, he, again, He's behind Tony Finau, behind Matt Kuchar, behind Patrick Cantlay, and behind Kevin Kisner right now on the outside looking in on those top eight spots. But, boy, I like Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau as a duo because absolutely nothing bothers him. Bryson DeChambeau is a guy who probably overthinks his selection for breakfast. And and yet he's able to perform. He's able to execute. And again, he bogeyed the 17th hole yesterday, it looked like we might have a Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau playoff. And again, he won't go away either. It's a guy that certainly puts more thought into the game than anybody maybe in the history of golf. But Bryson DeChambeau's star continues to rise.
It does, yeah. You know, he's solidly in the conversation now for the Ryder Cup team. And, I could see that, you know, if both guys make the team, I could see that being a pairing, Rob, because, Bryson hung around and congratulated Patrick Reed on his on his victory and then said some very complimentary things about him. So, you know, you could see that possibly being a pairing, whereas, you know, some guys on the team, quite frankly, might not want to play with Patrick Reed, but it sounds like Bryson would welcome that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, hey, that was pretty impressive over the weekend. And again, it's got me excited for what comes ahead here as we kind of take a bit of a breather before the Players' Championship. But then you get Players' Championship in March. You get the Masters in April, the PGA Championship in May, the U.S. Open in June, and the Open Championship in July. I love this new setup. I don't know what you think of the new major championship schedule and having that, you know, one a month here for five straight months. I just think it's classic.
I was really skeptical when the schedule was first announced that way and they were moving the PGA up from August to May. I was a skeptic, and after 1 year, I've bought in. I think it was a really, really good move by the tour to line those major championships up, and you know, getting the cooperation with the PGA of America, of course, to get that done. Yeah, you're right, Rob. They line up really nicely, and it gives you, you know, a huge tournament a month for 5 months.
And that's not even talking about the PGA Tour playoffs. Hopefully, maybe one day we'll see potentially Whistling Straits or an Erin Hills back in consideration for that. But first things first, let's enjoy the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. Gary, another date change this year, the Chicago Golf Show, a favorite for us because that's the one we go to every year. I think because of the leap year, it wound up going on the 28th, 29th, and the 1st of March. We're heading down this weekend. Golf shows are great. I know you go to the granddaddy of them all in Orlando, but the regional golf shows really, I think, get people excited about the upcoming season.
They do, Rob, and this is a big one. I mean, Chicago's been it might be the oldest golf show in the Midwest, if not the nation, as far as regional golf shows. And it's a good one. I mean, it's Milwaukee show's nice, but Chicago obviously is a lot bigger, and it's a great time because people are really starting to think about golf, but not able to play yet, obviously, or at least most of us. And you play today, Rob, but you're not in Wisconsin yet, so
not yet, and that's why I played today.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, the golf show is it's a great time. It's good for us to network, and it's good for us to meet a lot of people and to just kind of rub shoulders with people who are as excited about golf as we are.
And of course, the Chicago Golf Show presented by French Lick Resort, and we have rolled out another one of our Golf Time magazine sister publication stories onto Wisconsin Got Golf, and it's a great story by Gary D'Amato about French Lick Resort. How do you like that for this shameless self-promotion here, my friend?
I'm glad you said it, not me, Rob. French Lick is a wonderful place. I've been lucky enough to play quite a few good golf resorts around the country, as you have, and French Lick I put very near the top of my list, if not at the top of my list. It's a great place to get away and play golf. Kind of. Have you been there, Rob? Have you played there?
I have not yet. No, I have not. I know we've had a Ryder's Cup down there, haven't we, or at least a couple media day type events?
Yeah, they always have a media day for the Symetra Tour event down there, and I go down there for every year, and it's fun to, you know, play the course with a member of the Symetra Tour. But it's just, you know, it's kind of an unexpected, you're basically in the middle of nowhere, you know, Larry Bird's hometown, French Lick, Indiana, French Lick. And, it's miles and miles from I-65 from the freeway. It's hard to get to, but once you're there, it's just a great place for everything. For I mean, the hotels are wonderful. The golf is great. Donald Ross course, a Pete Dye course, a Tom Bendelow course, and the hotels are wonderful. And there's a casino. I mean, everything you could want to do is right there. The town itself isn't much to speak of, but the resort is wonderful.
And one of the atriums of one of those hotels is unforgettable. I can't remember which one it is, but you've posted pictures of that, and it just it looks like an old Roman Colosseum type thing.
It is, yeah. That's the West Baden Springs Hotel, Rob. It was called the Eighth Wonder of the World because it was the largest freestanding dome in the world. I think until the Houston Astrodome was built in the mid 60s. Wow. Yeah, so it's impressive. You walk in that atrium, and you could hit a full 9-iron across it, and it's a couple hundred feet tall. It's just an enormous circular space, and it's just. Everyone I've talked to have walked into that hotel for the first time has been awestruck by it. That's the kind of building it is. It's a very impressive place.
All right. What's your favorite thing about golf shows? If you were a spectator and you go first, tell me what you like to do at golf shows. When we're not standing at the Golf Time Midwest booth, of course, with Jim Kelch and Sarah Starmer, what will you be looking for at the golf show, Gary?
Well, I always look at places to play that I haven't seen or haven't been to yet, and I admit, Rob, I'm a sucker for walking around with a plastic bag and picking up all those brochures and pamphlets of all those beautiful places that I want to visit, and then I go home and sift through them and wind up throwing some of them away, but a lot of them are keepers, and I guess the best thing about it for me is stopping at those booths and talking to people about their golf courses and hoping that I can get to those courses someday. How about you?
I'm right there with you, and especially if you're a Wisconsin golf fan, Central Wisconsin's represented there. A lot of the courses up in Century World is always there. The Green Lake courses have a booth. The Lake Geneva courses have a booth. Usually Erin Hills is there, and so you get an opportunity to see a lot of the places to play close to home, and then you get to go and see French Lick, as we mentioned, is there. Eagle Ridge down in Galena is also there, and so, you get a lot of, if you're planning a guy's trip or a gal's trip, mm-hmm. because I've got a friend of ours, a couple, she and her friends go down every year to the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail.
Oh,
And leave the guys behind. And so it goes both ways. And I like to do that. But I'll tell you what I use this show for, Gary. It's usually, I know my friend Joel from Nevada Bob's in Madison is always down there, as are a lot of vendors. And I usually, my son only plays Callaway golf balls, so I stock up on the, let's call them, what are they, gently used, the Callaways?
Yes. Yeah.
Gently used, so he has enough to get him through the high school season. And then I usually stock up on golf gloves because, as you know, when it gets hot and muggy in the summer, I don't care how good the golf glove is. It's going to tear. It's going to rip. It's going to sweat. It's going to look like something that came, out of the back of the closet. And so I usually stock up on $5 golf gloves.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Rob. You can find some really, really good deals on equipment. Last year at the Chicago Golf Show, I bought a golf bag. It was, I think, $35, and it's a carry stand bag, and it's a great little bag. And normally, you walk into a golf shop, in the middle of the season, it's probably $140 or whatever. So, yeah, you can find good deals there, too. They're all over the place.
And if you happen to be of the preference of liking Chicago teams, you have no shortage of Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, golf attire, golf bags, golf pictures, whatever it might be. And it really is a great show. And again, it's at the Donald Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, not far from O'Hare Field. And it is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will be there all day, every day. Stop by the Golf Time Magazine booth, Golf Time Midwest Magazine. And if Gary and I aren't there, it means we're roaming the floor, talking to people and having a good time. But we should also, I would probably get a nasty gram from Ken Barrett up at the women's golf coach at Viterbo University in La Crosse. The annual Viterbo Greater La Crosse Golf Show is also this weekend. And they've done a really good job, Gary, of trying to engage with the community. There's opportunities for kids to get golf clubs at this, and you can get, again, your collection of gently used golf balls. They've got different, I like the, what I saw, the Viterbo one, you can get different grades of quality of used golf balls, all the way down to grade D, which grade D golf balls, Gary, remind me of the old days when you and I would cut and slice these golf balls up with the soft covers and then try to sell them to our friends. That reminds me of that day. So I don't know how bad those are, but they've got ones that are decent and you can get those. But the Viterbo, it's a fundraiser for the Viterbo women's golf team, and Ken Barrett does a great job up there, and it's held on campus, and you can Google Greater La Crosse Golf Show for the details for that one as well. Time for What's My Beef, Gary.
You've got one this week, Rob?
I've got another one. You know what? Some days, you know, some weeks, some things rub me the wrong way. Now it's back-to-back weeks. I got through the whole Carlos Franco playing in the Puerto Rico Open last week. And by the way, he missed the cut. And my beef this week is bad reviews of golf courses on Golf Now. Okay. Uh-huh. And last week, again, as you mentioned, I do have the opportunity out here in Southern California to play pretty much every month of the year. And this time of year, the grass is not great out here, especially on courses that don't have the financial resources to do the overseed and to you know, grow grass that is able to grow at this time of year. But I played a course. It was called, let me see. I want to say Ghost Creek. It's not it. But an 18-hole course kind of off the beaten path between San Diego and Temecula. And it was with my Golf Now discount of $10 that I got over the holidays. It cost me $5, 18 holes with a cart.
Now, that's unbelievable.
I don't care if it's if I'm playing on dirt fairways to sand greens, $5 with 18 holes in a cart's a deal in a steal. But that means that the original price for the, you know, and of course, Golf Now, for those of you who, you know, might live in a cave and haven't ever used that service, they always, Golf Now gets two tee times, maybe three tee times a day at each course that they contract with, and are able to discount the green fees, and then they you know, coordinate the tee times for all the other times of the day. I believe the most expensive tee time at this course is $26, 18 holes with a cart. But my goodness, Gary, I mean, they are getting hammered on these Golf Now reviews for how bad the conditions are, and they weren't great. I mean, it's, you know, you had, you know, ground under repair on greens, and I'm not a big fan of that, but you know, at least they didn't put the flag stick right in the middle of a ground under repair patch. I mean, and the reason I'm concerned about people being too harsh on Golf Now with these reviews is, okay, if you're paying under $20 to play 18 holes with a cart, you better not be expecting Erin Hills, Whistling Straits, Sand Valley, whatever it might be. You better be grading your expectations on a curve. And my biggest concern is what happens, Gary, if all these courses, because of bad reviews, don't get played and then go away. So then all the beginning golfers come onto these courses where they have no business playing. I mean, there's a certain level of evolution, I believe, in the golf course industry. You start at the mom and pop, simple courses and work your way up. But if we remove those because they don't look like Pebble Beach, I think we're in for a world of hurt, my friend.
Well, Rob, I'm right with you on this one. You know, first of all, I've probably played almost 500 golf courses in my life, and I can probably count on one hand the times I've had just horrible experiences. I mean, anytime I'm on a golf course, I don't care what the condition is. You know, the only time I would beef would be if I paid $100 for a golf course and got a $20 golf course, which doesn't happen. But when you pay $20 for a golf course, just as you said, Rob, my goodness, I mean, there's a necessity, there's a need for golf courses of all types, and especially the affordable ones, when we're talking about how difficult it is to grow the game, to get young people involved in the game. Not every course can be Pebble Beach or Augusta National. And if you pay $20, $25, $15 for golf, you should expect what you pay for, which is, unless you're a complete stooge, you should be able to have fun. And
right.
You shouldn't expect, you know, greens rolling at 13 on the stimp meter and perfectly manicured fairways. Just go out there, pay your $15 and have a good time, play golf and have fun. Why would you want to post a bad review about that when you should know what sort of to expect for the money you pay? I just don't understand that.
Well, and I had a great time playing with two retired gentlemen and a guy who works down at the University of San Diego, or mm-hmm. UC San Diego, and we just had a great old time. None of us, the two guys in one cart knew each other, but the we didn't know them, and they didn't know the two of us in our cart. It was kind of like you're getting out, meeting new people. To me, the golf course, I don't know if you've ever played Noyes Park on the north side of Milwaukee, par 3.
Yeah.
It was like that. I mean, it was, the grass was there, but it wasn't great. But they had it. And now I look at it, it's actually called Castle Creek Country Club, Gary, and it's got an Escondido mailing address. And I just looked it up on Golf Now. Do you want to know who designed this course?
No, who did?
Jack DeRay. In 1948, do you know what course Jack DeRay designed, Gary?
I have no idea.
Olympia Fields Country Club, home of the 2003 U.S. Open.
Wow.
And there was, I mean, and again, like all the courses, or 90% of the courses out here, Gary, were built to have, in conjunction with some housing development around it, which seems to be what this was back in the day. I talked to someone today that I played with at a different course, and she was giving me the lowdown on what that course was all about. And, at one time it was, in great shape. And then a couple of people from overseas came in to buy the course back when golf was booming, and they felt they could make a quick buck. And then 2008 happened, it fell out. And she said the last two owners used it to launder money. So there you go. So again, if you've got a mom and pop golf course in your backyard, support them. Understand that every course, and we've got coming up here in a couple months, we're going to roll out a new and improved golf directory on Wisconsin.golf with all of the golf courses in the state. And I researched a bunch of them to see which ones are still open, and who owns them. And start small, but make sure your expectations are small, and then when you get to the point where you plunk down the couple hundred bucks to go play an Erin Hills or a Whistling Straits or a Black Wolf Run, then raise your own bar. But don't go to those mom and pop courses expecting to see a U.S. Open played there in 10 years. That's just not going to happen. So no. There's my beef for this week, Gary.
No, it's a good beef up. Plunk down your 50 bucks and have fun. That's what I say.
That's right. Hey, we got to wrap it up with the Kolegaard Classic, we've got not one, not two, but three Madison golfers in the Kolegaard Classic on the PGA Tour Champions this week. Of course, Kolegaard, the signature product of Exact Sciences out of Madison, so there's a connection there. But not only Jerry Kelly, not only Steve Stricker, but Jim Schumann, the reigning Wisconsin PGA Player of the Year, as well as a guy who is the swing coach for Jerry Kelly. And I know when I talked to Jerry over the holidays, he had mentioned that he was hoping that Jim would be able to get an exemption, but it's not easy to get or give exemptions. And it took Darren Clark getting into the field on his on status versus an exemption for that one to open up to give to Jim Schumann. It'll be interesting. I think what Jerry Kelly wanted to do and why he wanted to do it this year, Gary, is that Jim is already exempt for the senior PGA championship because of his play in the senior professionals championship last fall. And of course, the last couple of years, he's also gone in and won or been able to qualify for the U.S. Senior Open. And of course, he's always in consideration for an exemption to the American Family Insurance Championship. So there's a potential that he could play in up to four events this year. So I think Jerry wanted to give him a little bit of an opportunity to get a head start. And when Jim Schumann has it together, he can play as well as anybody.
Oh, and he's been, if not the best player in the state, certainly in the top two or three for, 35, 40 years now, Rob. I remember covering him. He beat Tom Rogan in the WSGA match play, I think in 1982 at Meadowbrook.
Wow.
38 years ago, and he's as good now as he was then. I mean, he hasn't lost anything from his game. One of the most intense competitors, Rob, really friendly guy, great guy Jim is, but you walk past him on the golf course and he's just laser focused. I think half the time he doesn't even see me when I'm out there watching him or covering one of his rounds. great guy and a really good player.
It's funny you bring that up because Jim and I talked about that when we were walking and following Jerry Kelly at the Charles Schwab Cup. And, he just says he gets into this bubble and, it's the way some guys play. And, and it is what it is, but, it's been a very successful way. He's the nicest guy when you just walk up to him on the golf course and just, and he doesn't have a club in his hand. But, and I think maybe that's, I think what some people believe, Gary, has held Jim back over the years is he's too, maybe, laser focused, especially when it comes to, what his swing looks like and feels like. And I think that tended to be maybe his Achilles heel through the years, but, there've been those times when he just, flips that switch and he's unbeatable.
Yeah. I remember years ago, I asked Jerry Kelly, who had been on a tour, for a number of years by then, whose swing he most admires, whose swing he thinks is the best. And he said, without hesitation, Jim Schumann. Jim has a great, great golf swing. He's a little Hogan-esque on the golf course. I mean, he has that aura about him, and it's fun to watch him. He's not the longest guy in the world, but boy, is he is so steady and so consistent. You can always count on him to shoot a couple under par almost no matter where or when he plays.
Well, and then, it wasn't easy for Kolegaard to give, Jim Schumann the exemption. When you look at the Open qualifier today, Gary, in Tucson, and first of all, they had 43 guys that wound up, turning in a scorecard. I think 50 plus were entered. And the last four spots went to a guy named Jeff Sisk, Hugh Royer, Cliff Kresge, and Jarmo Sandelin. Jarmo is a newly minted 50-year-old, I believe, who almost got his card through the Q school last year. And of course, that's not an easy feat either. When you're dealing with like 78 guys in the field every week, there just aren't a whole lot of exempt spots. They had a 6-for-1 playoff for the final spot today, Gary. Jarmo Sandelin beat Esteban Toledo, who's contended at Madison, at the AmFam. Philip Price, again, he lists Newport, Florida as his place of residence now, but he's another one from, I can't remember if he's, is he Great Britain or is he South Africa? But he's an international player. John right. Inman, Jerry Smith, and Sean McKeel, a former PGA champion. And again, a lot of guys trying to get on this tour. Thomas Levette, who was a Ryder Cupper. Cameron Beckman, Gary Hallberg, former GMO champ. John Rieger, who's Bob May, who lost to Tiger Woods in a playoff for the PGA championship. And again, it's just a lot of guys. Tom Pertzer, Robin Yount's buddy from Scottsdale. And there's a lot of guys who want to get that spot. So it'd be nice to be able to see Jim Schumann, make the most of it. And again, Steve Stricker playing currently today and yesterday, watching his daughter Bobby at the Westbrook Invitational, the Badgers women's golf team opening there. They kind of took it on the chin today, shot a 292, slipped a few spots to finish 13th out of 16 teams at their invite over there in Peoria, Arizona. And so Steve taking advantage of being able to watch Bobby yesterday and today, and then he'll head over to Tucson and get ready for his first senior tour event of the year. What do you look for out of Jerry Kelly? What do you look for out of Steve Stricker here as we hit the Kolegaard?
Well, I think, Steve obviously has made, four starts since the first of the year on the PGA right. Tour? Missed three cuts and then made a cut. It sounds like his game is rounding into form a little bit, and now he goes to the Champions Tour, which doesn't make it necessarily any easier, but I think he'll take with him some confidence from seeing some progression on the PGA Tour and then making a cut. I think that was probably really big. I would expect him to play really well, and I always expect Jerry to play well on the Champions Tour. He hasn't disappointed too often over the last couple of years.
No, he sure hasn't. And so it'll be fun to watch, to see those two guys. And Jerry had a good, a good tournament a couple weeks ago in Morocco. And, again, there's guys playing well right now, Gary, that, Fred Couples is off to a great start this year, and it'd be fun to see Fred Couples play well coming back into Madison, where he's played well in the past, but, You've got Ernie Els is in the field again this week. He's a PGA Tour Champions rookie. We're getting ready for a couple other rookies to join. Of course, Tim Herron turned 50 and played his first senior tour event a couple weeks ago down in Florida. So you get this new blood mixed in with guys that have been there a while, and And you still have Langer and Bernhard Langer, Scott McCarron. So you're right. It doesn't get any easier, but maybe just the kind of the, you know, a different change of scenery for a week will benefit Steve Stricker, because I know he told me he did get an exemption into the into Bay Hill, the old Nestle Invitational Arnold Palmer's event, I believe, coming up in a couple weeks. So he will be back out on the PGA Tour, looking at maybe our dream pairing of Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau. You know, I'm sure, again, as we've talked about before, Steve listens to this podcast every week, I believe, to get fodder for that Ryder Cup team.
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, you never know. You never know. He might be. Yeah, he might tune into us and get some tips and thank us. Of course, he'll thank us then in the when the Americans win the Ryder Cup. He'll
when
give
they
us
hoist
some
the cup, baby. We'll be drinking out of the cup on that in late September, Gary, with Spotted Cow, right?
The odds are 1,000,000 to 1 on us getting any recognition at all, but that's fine.
And as Steve told me when I first told, you know, approached him about Ryder Cup stuff. In San Diego, or actually in Palm Springs, he said, far too early to worry about this. It's like worrying about who you're going to start at quarterback week five of your fantasy football league. You know, it's just so much can change, as we saw. I mean, that a lot of points. I was surprised how many points were on the line last week in a World Golf Championship event. So we've got more of those. We've got majors. We've got the Players Championship. We're going to have to see some consistency from these guys if they want to be coming to Whistling Straits.
Yeah, it's a long way to go. I'm sure Steve's paying attention, and he knows. I'm sure he knows who's wearing the points, but I don't think he's stressed out or obsessing over captain's picks. Not quite yet.
No, a marathon and not a sprint. Mm-hmm. Much like this podcast, Gary. So it's time to wrap it up. How's that sound?
What a segue. Perfect, Rob.
All right, Gary. Appreciate your time as always. We'll do it again next week when we look back at all the things that we found and put in our bag at the Chicago Golf Show. What we'll do is we'll compare notes and we'll kind of give the listener an idea of what kind of fun things we found in Chicago. So we'll do that next week. Gary, we'll see you in just a couple days.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.